Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to be back in Acts chapter 16 this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much for the morning that you've given us, for the time that we get to spend worshiping you, for the time that we get to spend worshiping you through learning from your word. God, I pray that this would be a time of blessing for each one of us in whatever way that we need to be changed by you. Lord, meet us there, I pray. Lord, I pray that you will teach us through the things in this particular passage of scripture. And then, Lord, as we are studying in our own personal time in the word this week, pray that you would just teach us and help us to learn. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to start off with our memory verse for this month. Are grounded in the word for January. If you guys would read 2 Corinthians 5:17 along with me. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Praise God for that, right? Because only God could have accomplished such a thing. What an amazing thing that is. Well, if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 16, if you're not already there. We've been talking over the last couple of weeks, including this week, and then we're going to continue on into it next week as well, about open doors, about the open doors that God provides for us in our lives, very particularly to live for him, very particularly to serve him. And it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have thought about this much, but have you thought about how you got here this morning? Thinking back through your life, I'm not just talking about the car ride here, but I'm thinking about through your life, how God has brought you to this place in your life this morning. It's kind of fun, right, to look back, and I think over the past 20 years of my life, not all the things that have happened over the past 20 years have been fun things, right? They're not always fun. But the reason why it is fun to look back over those 20 years is because I can now see in hindsight. I can now see some of the reasons why God led me and why God led our family in the particular ways that he has led us. Sometimes those things, the ways that he led us, were completely different than how I would have expected things to happen. We have gone into different times in our lives where we had a plan in place, and then we get to that plan and things work out completely differently because God has a different plan. Now, it would not have seemed obvious to me, thinking back 20 years ago, that God would have placed our family, that he would have placed us in this ministry in Mitchell, Nebraska, or that he would have placed us in the other ministry that we're involved in LaGrange, Wyoming. 20 years ago, I would have never thought that, right? And I can imagine that a lot of you are sitting here this morning thinking some of the very same things. 20 years ago, believe it or not, I thought that God was going to take my life in a completely different direction. I thought that God was going to send me off to college, allow me to go to college and learn how to be a software engineer. How different is that from where we are today? There's a lot of things that people could call me, right? But a software engineer is not one of those things. Our family, over the years, we've gone through a lot of different steps. We've gone through a lot of unexpected doors that have opened up only because of God. A lot of different things that he has opened up for us to bring us to this place where we are today. Now, when I think about this, and maybe when you think about this as well, you can think of characters who are told to us about in the Bible. Their stories are written down in the pages of Scripture. And one in particular that comes up is the life of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, you see that Joseph's brothers were not very nice people. Leading up to this, there were many different reasons, many different things that had happened that made Joseph's brothers look at him with hatred. They absolutely hated Joseph. And then you get to chapter 37, and in verse 8, according to what that says, it says that they hated him even more. And so what did they do? They plotted against their very own brother. They plotted actually to kill him. That was their plan. They were going to take him out in the field and get rid of their little brother because they hated him so much. But what they ended up doing, because one of the brothers intervened and said, let's not do this, they ended up selling Joseph into slavery in Egypt. And that's where he ended up. But God, as he was in Egypt, God opened up these unexpected doors for Joseph so that he could serve God in a way that only God could have thought of. And we think about that in our own lives, right? The ways that God allows us to serve, the open doors that he gives us, are things that only God could have come up with. You realize that Joseph went into Egypt as a slave, and God opened up all of these doors for him to walk through, and Joseph obeyed, and he ended up being the one who had the most power in the household of Pharaoh, and he used it for good. He used it for the will of God. And when his brothers came back around, they ended up meeting back together again through a course of events that, again, only God could have anticipated, that only God could have planned for. His brothers came back around, the ones who had planned to kill him, the ones who had ended up throwing him and selling him into slavery, and he showed them a kind of kindness and forgiveness that was also very unexpected. And we think of the life of Joseph and how he got there. It was only because God led him there, only because God opened these unexpected doors for his life. And as God leads us along each step of our lives, each step of the path that he has for us, he will help us to see exactly how he wants us to be serving. He'll help us to see exactly what he wants us to be doing. And that very possibly could be done through him leading us through some unexpected doors. And we get into this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 16. And the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is that there was this apparent ministry that was in front of Paul and his companions. There was this apparent ministry, and what seemed like was the apparent ministry didn't turn out to be God's plan for them at all. Sometimes what seems like the obvious thing for us to do, what seems like the obvious path for us to take, is not the path that God wants us to go down. How many times has God taken a plan that you have concocted, a plan that you have crafted, and he's turned you in a different course completely? And you look back at it now, and you're completely blown away by it. Now, I remember this happening so many times in our lives, but one time in particular, when we were in Bible school, we were dead set on going to Utah. We knew that that is where God wanted us to be. We knew that that's the ministry that he wanted us to be involved in, and we went there thinking that we were going to be church planters. We went there thinking that we were going to go into a town that didn't have any presence of the gospel, that we were going to start a church, that people were going to get saved, and that things were going to thrive, that God was going to do mighty works through that ministry. And we got there, and God shifted our course. We were involved in church planting, for sure, but we ended up being involved in ministries where we were supporting the work that other church planters were doing. And guess what? That is exactly where we belonged. During our time in Utah, that is exactly where we belonged. And we get into verses 6 and 7, and we see that they try to get involved in all of these different ministry opportunities, but God has a different plan for them. It says they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after this, they came to Mysia. They were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they've gone through all of these different regions. We have our map back up here again this morning. They went through, you can see up there, the Phrygian and the Galatian region right next to it. Then they were trying to do ministry in the province of Asia Minor, which includes kind of that whole area there. And the Holy Spirit said no. They were trying to do ministry. They were in Mysia, which is right up there on the left-hand side of the circle, another region that's there. And the Holy Spirit said no. And then they were even trying to go up north into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. They went through all of these different places, and the Holy Spirit said, no. God had a different plan for them. They ended up going all the way over to the left of the circle there to a city called Troas, which is right on the Aegean Sea. Now think about the persistence of these men. Think about the persistence that they had in their ministry. What were they trying to do as they went through all of these different cities and all of these different regions? They were trying to do the ministry that God had called them to do. Part of that ministry was to encourage the churches, and that was probably still happening. Part of that ministry, though, was to spread the gospel message even more. And the Holy Spirit said, no. But they had persistence. Now think about what this would have been like. We can look at our part of the country and think about what this kind of travel would have looked like in comparison to where we live in the United States. Now think about somebody who said, the Holy Spirit wants me to go to Kansas City. They want me to go to Kansas City, and they want, or the Holy Spirit wants me to go into that area and to preach the gospel. This is what I think is going to happen, right? Now, imagine that we take all of our modern forms of transportation away. We don't have cars, we don't have trucks, we don't have buses, we don't have trains, none of that stuff. And so we are traveling from Mitchell, Nebraska to Kansas City, Missouri by foot, by animal, by cart, whatever it is. And we're going this entire distance, and then we get there feeling like the Lord is calling us there to do some sort of ministry, and the Holy Spirit says no. And the reason why is because he says, I have further for you to go. I have a further place that I want you to go. But these men were persistent. In every place that they went, they tried to do ministry, and the Holy Spirit said no. Now we look back to verse 5. In the beginning of this missionary journey, things were going according to their plan, right? It says, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith, and they were increasing in number daily. So they get into this area of Lystra and Derbe where they meet Timothy, right? Timothy joins them. And during this first part of this missionary journey, things are hunky-dory, right? Things are happy for them. Things are going according to their plan, and the ministry that they had been called to was being accomplished. But now, every turn, the Holy Spirit is saying no. Now think about, in our fleshly minds, what you would be feeling if this was taking place. It would be frustrating. It would be disappointing. It would be discouraging, I think. And I don't know if those are the things that were going through their minds. Maybe they were just willing to go and do whatever it was with a really good attitude. But it seemed like every place that they went, that the Holy Spirit was standing in front of them and saying, not right now. Not here. There's speculation about what was preventing them to do ministry in all these different places. Some people speculate that it could have been illness. Some people speculate that it could have been other kinds of opposition. We don't really know what it is, but what we do need to recognize is that the Holy Spirit was doing this. They were going into these ministry opportunities, and the Holy Spirit was saying, no, not here. Then you also have to think about what they're thinking for the future. They're thinking, well, if the Holy Spirit is saying no right here, what is he going to say in the next place that we go to? If the Holy Spirit is saying no right here, and he's been saying no for so many different places, when are we going to be able to get back into the ministry that God has called us to do? Now, the truth of this, though, is that God had led them to another place. And if God had not led them to this other place, that place would probably have never been on Paul's radar. He was thinking about Asia Minor. Within that circle, that's what Paul was thinking about. But God took them outside of that circle, and he took them into Europe. When Joseph went to Egypt, just thinking back to Genesis 37 again, He knew that there was a famine coming because the Lord had told him that there was a famine coming. And so he spent the time there preparing for what was coming. God put him there for a reason. He gave him this work to do. He set aside food, and that was what God had him do. And going to another area and going through this unexpected door was the avenue that God used to spread the gospel into this other part of the world. So it's interesting as we get into verses 8 through 10, because we see that God's plan for them was not only unexpected. This door that he was leading them through was not only unexpected, but also the way that he communicated it is kind of unexpected. Look at these verses. It says, "And passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas." So that's the town that they ended up in. And in Troas, verse 9, it says, "A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So in whatever way, they ended up on the western coast of Asia Minor in Troas. They ended up there because they tried to go south, right? They tried to go south down toward Ephesus and Colossae. They tried to go through the Phrygian and the Galatian region. They tried to go even west to Mysia. They tried to go north into Bithynia. But the only open place for them left to go to was further west. And so they ended up in Troas. Now, God had chosen to direct them through a method that I think seems very unusual to us. Does that seem unusual to you, to have a vision and then God speak to you through that vision? It seems very unusual to us. And why is that? I think as Americans in this day and age that we like things to be very direct. We like things to be told to us how they're going to be, or we like things to be planned to us or by us for how they're going to be. Now, I know that I'm that type of person. Maybe you're not so much. Maybe you're more open to other things. But I'm the type of person, like, let's say that I'm setting up a meeting of some sort. I like to know where the meeting is going to be. So I need to know where the location of that meeting is going to take place. I need to know the directions on how to get to that meeting. I need to know what time that meeting is supposed to start. I need to know how long I should expect that meeting to be. I need to know all of the things that we are going to discuss in that meeting. That's the kind of person that I am. I like things to be more direct than that. But this was a little bit different. A little bit different than we're used to in this day and age. This was a vision in the night. But what we have to understand is that this was not so unusual in the pages of Scripture. This is not so unusual during that time in history. In Luke chapter 1, this is how John the Baptist, the birth of this little boy, was communicated to Zechariah. See, Zechariah, he went into the temple to perform his priestly duties, and Gabriel, the angel, appeared to him and told him that John would be born to him and his wife, Elizabeth, even in their old age. This was something that was unexpected, but this is something that God brought about in their lives. And he came to Zechariah through a vision, or through this angel coming to speak to him. Again, Gabriel also visited Mary. Gabriel visited Mary and told her of God's plan for the birth of the Messiah, even though she was a virgin. Gabriel came to her and said, "This is the way it's going to be." And then she responded to that and said, "However you want to do this, Lord, do it." And then also Joseph is involved in that. Joseph was upset about what was going on because he learned that Mary was pregnant and he was engaged to her, which was akin to being married to her in our culture. And he looked at her and he's like, "What am I going to do?" And then Gabriel, he went and he visited Joseph also. And his vision was described as a dream in the night. Gabriel came to him and said, "This is how this took place. Mary is carrying the Messiah through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is to be named Jesus." Joseph was visited also in this dream. Now this list, we could go on and on in this list of these things that happened throughout the New Testament, but they also happened in the Old Testament as well. And now we have God's word. And now that we have the word of God in front of us, we have these pages of scripture that we can read through, that we can look a little bit into the character of God, into the mind of God, into the will of God for our lives. We can look into the pages that we have right now. And so this kind of thing just doesn't happen as much. God chooses not to communicate in this way so much, but it still happens. God still chooses to communicate in this way in certain situations. There's many people in the Middle East who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of this kind of communication from God. There's people who are having dreams. And these dreams are of Jesus. And people give testimonies after they come to know Christ as their Savior. They are having dreams about Jesus, where Jesus is there in the dream in front of them, and he is speaking scripture to them that they have never heard before. And what an amazing thing that takes place. And God comes to Paul in this way. He comes to Paul in a vision, and in this vision, there's this man from Macedonia. Now, what God showed Paul directed them to this unexpected new area for ministry, right? So what did Paul see in this vision? Well, first of all, we see that he saw a man standing there who was very obviously to him from Macedonia. This place, Macedonia, you can see on the map, is up in the upper left-hand corner. There is a sea that is between where he is and where he is going. The Aegean Sea is right in the middle of these two places. And it was evident to Paul that this man was from Macedonia, maybe from the way that he was speaking, maybe from the way that he was dressed, maybe something that he said, that he was from Macedonia. And then the second thing that we see that he saw in this vision was that they needed help. What was the help that they needed? They needed the help for somebody to come in and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Verse 10, we see that these men were on a mission. It says in verse 10, when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. There's a lot of people who think that at this time, Luke actually joined them. Remember that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. There's a lot of people who think that Luke joined them at this time because this is where the language changes from they, them, their, to we and us. He says that we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. But regardless of what that is, what Luke says is that their actions were immediate. God had opened this new door, this unexpected door to them, and it was very clear to them what God wanted them to do. And they immediately sought to go to Macedonia. Now, what do we do when we get a clear understanding from God like this? What do we do? What should we do? I think that the answer is right here. If we understand that God is calling us to do something in particular, if he's calling us to go and visit somebody to encourage them, if he's talking to us to go and spend some time maybe having coffee or maybe having lunch with somebody to share the gospel with them, if he's telling us to go and help somebody with a physical project, whatever it is, to open these doors, these different opportunities for ministry, and it's very clear to us, what should our action be? It should be to go. It should be an immediate thing, because what God wants from us is obedience. What God wants from us is immediate action to what he is directing us to do. Now, there's going to be times in our lives, and it's okay if we don't know what God is leading us to do right away. In fact, a lot of our lives seem like that, right? Where we don't know exactly what God is wanting us to do, and that's fine. But we need to be listening, and we need to be seeking God's will. Paul and Silas and Timothy, this group that was all together, they ended up carrying on for quite a while, didn't they? You think of all the distance that they traveled and all the time that that would have taken to go into all of these different regions to try to preach the gospel. They carried on for quite a while, poking their nose into Phrygia and Galatia and poking their nose into Mysia, trying to go up into the region of Bithynia, until finally God took them to the place where he wanted them to be. The place that I think for them was least expected. And he took them into Europe. We get into these next verses, starting in verse 11, and we see that God's leading in our lives as followers of his can often be to the unexpected, to these unexpected situations, to these unexpected places. When God brings a turn of events into our lives for the purpose of leading us into a situation to share the truth of Jesus Christ or to share the love of Jesus Christ in some way, it's often not how we envision things to happen. Now, one of the things that I probably told you about before and the reason why the picture of that play place is up there is because this happened with us in Utah. Sarah in particular. One of the best places that Sarah found to minister to the other young moms in our area was at McDonald's, of all places, in the play place at McDonald's. Now, she could attend, and she did try to attend functions that happened in our neighborhood, right? And a lot of times she would go to those things, and the other ladies would completely ignore her. She would go into the grocery store and they wouldn't give her a second thought, even though we saw each other every day in our neighborhood. But there was something about going to the McDonald's play place, this kind of unexpected place, that God gave Sarah an environment and these moms an environment for them to open up to her. They would finally connect in the McDonald's play place. Now, Paul, he was trying to go to all these different places, and these were all places that probably seemed like the obvious next step to him. But not only did God not allow him to have ministry in those places, God took him across a sea to a completely different country to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, what could have remained a little bit more close to home, having this ministry that he would have been more familiar with, ended up being God's plan to expand the gospel into another part of the world. Now we look at the names of the cities on the map over in that region. I have to go back to the map. In the region of Macedonia, you look at the names of those cities that are there, and what are some of the names that look familiar to you? If you can see them, sorry. So Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, Athens is another place that's mentioned in scripture and we know about now. So the reason why, Berea is another one of those, but why are those cities familiar to us? It's because we have the pages of scripture, we have these letters that are written to the churches that are in those cities. Philippians is one of those books, the first and the second letter to the church in Thessalonica. The first and second letter to Corinth, those are all letters that we have in the pages of scripture, and they're all very familiar to us, but these are expanded places. These are places that God chose to use these men to expand the gospel message. Now, in verse 11, it shows us where they ended up. It says, "So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course through Samothrace," which you can see up on the map, is a little island that is out in the Aegean Sea. And that was the first day. And then on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. So they sailed to the island of Samothrace. They sailed the next day to Neapolis, which is a port city that Philippi utilized. And then they traveled on to Philippi. Now, Philippi, it was an important city. It says that it was a leading city. But saying that it was a leading city didn't mean that it was the capital of that region or the capital of a district there, because those distinctions actually belonged to other cities already. It was an important city for a few different reasons, though. Number one, it was a city that had been colonized by the Romans. Philippi was a Roman colony. It was a military outpost that really actually may have been colonized by Roman military veterans. It was an important city because being a Roman colony, it meant that the people who lived there, its citizens, they were given the rights of Roman citizens, which meant that they were actually treated as though they lived in Italy, that they lived in the area of Rome. They were treated as though they were citizens of the capital there. It's also an important city because it's located along one of the Roman highways called the Egnatian Way. And that's the highway that connected the Aegean Sea all the way across to the sea that's on the other side called the Adriatic Sea. This was a very important city. But most importantly, though, is that Philippi was the first city in Europe where Paul preached the gospel. And that's why it was an important city. In verse 13, we see that there is fruit now. After all this time of waiting, after all this time of wandering around and wondering what God is going to do with them next, there is finally fruit. In verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled there. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things that were spoken by Paul. And when she and her husband or her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." So you think about Philippi being a Roman colony. There was no synagogue there. And what was Paul's strategy as he went into a new city? He would go and he would visit the synagogue. But there was no synagogue there. But he wanted to follow through with this strategy, and he still did follow through with this strategy of going first to the Jews. And so their strategy was to go to where they assumed was a Jewish place of prayer. And this just happened to be by one of the riversides in Philippi. Now, they didn't go there just to look around and see what would happen, but they went there to actually connect with people. They went there to look for people that they could share the gospel message with. How often have we gotten up off of our chair, off of our couch, off of our recliner, and said, "I'm going to go out into the park and I'm going to go look to connect with people so that I can share the gospel with them"? I know for my own life, I can't say that that has happened very often. It needs to happen more. But this is what they did. They were there for that very reason. And they went into this area, this place of prayer, and they went there to connect with people, and they actually did that. There were people there. And so they went there and they talked with these people, and there was a particular woman named Lydia. Now, she was from Thyatira, which is kind of funny. When you're thinking through the course of events that had just taken place, where is Thyatira on that map? It's back in Asia Minor, where they had just come from, where God had prevented them from doing ministry this whole time. But this is where Lydia was from. She was a businesswoman. She dealt in purple fabrics. She was a businesswoman who had gone from Thyatira and had settled in Philippi with her family and probably also with others in her household who worked for her. It says, even more importantly than that, she was a worshiper of God. And that particular phrase, a worshiper of God, meant that she was a Gentile from Thyatira who had become a partial proselyte to Judaism. We've talked about people like that before. So she was a follower of God. She was a worshiper of Yahweh. And on the first Sabbath, and it's important to know that this was the first Sabbath, they immediately went to Macedonia. They made their way to Philippi, and on the very first opportunity, on the very first Sabbath that they were there, God produced fruit. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. She was a believer in God. She was a believer in the ways of Judaism. But then she listened to what Paul had to say. She listened to the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, had come to the world, that he had sacrificed himself, that he had died on the cross for her sins in her place, paying a debt that she could not pay on her own, a debt that none of us could pay on our own. She listened to the words of Paul. She listened to his teaching, and she fully accepted the gospel message. And this made such an impact on her. But it also made a huge impact on her household. And like I said before, it was probably her family and other people who maybe worked for her in her business that were part of her household. And they also believed, and they were baptized as a proclamation of their newfound faith in Jesus. So what amazing fruit that God produced there. She was so moved by this that she opened up her home to these men and said, come and stay with me. And she was hospitable. So all of these things happened. The ministry that was blocked, the new open door that was unexpected to them, and then this fruit that God produced. It all happened because God was leading. And that happens in our lives as well. Anything that we accomplish for the Lord is because God is the one who is leading us. We were talking at Bible study this last Tuesday about how the will of God seems to be this big, mysterious thing to us. We were talking about the example that they used in the thing that we were learning from, the video that we were learning from, is that we think of finding the will of God as finding a needle in a haystack. That it's this thing that we search for and we search for and we search for, and we might not ever find it in our lives. And that's how we think of the will of God. And we also talked about how sometimes people really agonize over this. They agonize over whether or not they are living their lives in God's will. And I have to tell you that seeking God's will is absolutely vital to our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. But finding the will of God, it doesn't have to be so confounding to us, because it starts with all of the things that we have been talking about this morning, all of the things that we see these men doing. So there's a few things that I want to finish up with this morning. There's a picture of our haystack. Try finding a needle in that thing, right? And that's a small haystack. But the first thing that we were talking about this morning is that we need to be walking with Jesus. If you're seeking out God's will in your life, be walking with Jesus. And what does that mean? Walking with Jesus means that we are living our lives for him, that we are doing that and understanding what he wants us to be doing in our lives by spending time in his word, by spending the time that we need to spend in the pages of scripture, by spending time praying to God. Spending time in that communion, in that fellowship, in that communication with God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What does it mean to walk in him? What it means when it says walk in him, it means lead your life by Jesus. Lead your life by following Jesus Christ. And as we walk in him, we come to the second thing. As we talk about finding the will of God and seeking out the will of God, as we walk with Jesus, the second thing that we need to be doing is we need to be active in seeking out new opportunities to serve. Now, these men, they went to all of these different places. They were looking for opportunities to serve other people by strengthening the churches, encouraging the churches, but even more so by preaching the gospel to them. Now, what that looks like for us is to be looking for new opportunities for us to serve, both in our Christian community. See, we can serve others, right, in our Christian community, in the body of Christ, in our local church, in the other local churches that are in the area. We can serve one another in the Christian community. But it also means that we look for opportunities to serve people in the surrounding community. What do your neighbors need? They need Jesus. What do the people that you run into in the grocery store need? They need Jesus. What do the people that you work with need? They need the truth about Jesus. So we need to be seeking out these new opportunities to serve. And also be faithful in the opportunities that God has already given us. And then the last thing is that as you are serving, be ready for the unexpected from God. God is not always going to work by our plan. He's not always going to work by our timeline, right? So we need to be ready for the unexpected because God may just take us places that we never expected to go. When we first got married and I was training to be a software engineer, I never expected to go to Bible school. When we went to Bible school, I never expected that we would end up in ministry in Utah until a little ways into Bible school. When we were in ministry in Utah, I never imagined that we would be back in LaGrange, Wyoming, serving with the mission there. When we were serving with the mission there, I never would have expected that God would have left or led us here this morning to this place to serve in this church. God may take you places that you would have never expected, and he also may put you in contact with people that you never anticipated. God has fruit that is ripe for the harvest, and I'm going to finish with this verse this morning from John chapter 4, verse 35. This is a very important verse to my life. This is a verse, we were involved in our own church plant for a while, and this was our theme verse. This was our mission verse, John 4, 35. Jesus is talking and he says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest." The fields are ready. What we need are workers. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time in your word, for the encouragement and also for the challenge. Lord, we thank you for faithfully leading us in so many different ways in our lives. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to seek you out, that you'll help us to be faithful to serve and to find new opportunities to serve, and that you will help us to be faithful to walk through those unexpected doors that you take us through. God, we love you so much and we want to live our lives for you. So please help us in this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.